This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay and Lesbian Community Yellow Pages, providing a wide array of gay-friendly business listings. More information at 503-230-7701 or www.pdxgayyellowpages.com. Also, this KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair-accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212 or on the web at radiocab.net. So tonight's program from Wings, Frida Worden interviews Adriana Paz, a feminist radio producer from Bolivia, about the reasons behind the recent electoral victory of President Evo Morales, especially the role of women.
And now, Wings.
Till now, it's very, very surprising how the main base of Evo is the cocaleras, the women.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service. This is Frida Worden, and I'm in Vancouver, British Columbia, on January the 9th, 2006. And I have with me Adriana Paz from Bolivia, who also now lives in Canada. Adriana, you've recently been in Bolivia. What did you tell about the situation there?
Thank you, Frida. Yes, I've been in Bolivia 4 months ago, just on the pre-elections time, and it was a very, very exciting moment, not only because the people, I mean the mass, the Cocaleros political party seems to be the winner, but also because all the people was really working hard and really very involved on the democracy and the politics of the country. A very nice political campaign from the mass, from the people really, who was trying to remind to the rest of the people, to the rest of the elite class, what was really happened with indigenous people from 500 years. So that was a very historical moment, I guess.
So the first term I think people may not know is that you mentioned was cocalero.
Yeah, cocalero means the coca growers, and they are people who grows coca in different regions in Bolivia. The term is cocaleros, but there are also cocaleras, because actually there are a lot of women involved on that. The cocaleros and cocaleras, they have a movement. They are indigenous people who at the beginning were working on the mines. And then when in 1985, the political government closed the mines and give it to the national corporations, all the miners lose their jobs. So they are people from the plateau, from the altiplano, we call, and they don't know what to do with the land, because they only knows how to rock the mine. So they went to look for a better life in everywhere of the rest of the country. So most of them went to a region in Cochabamba, and they started to grow coca. Grow coca because it's very easy to grow the coca plant, and it's really an integral part of the culture of the Andean mythology. But then the USA government applied a policy in Bolivia where all the coca leaves had to be destroyed because of the drugs war. So they organize and they resist like for many, many years, more than 10 years. So that's the Cocalero movement. At the beginning, the Cocalero movement was very regional, but after a few years, they started to grow and grow and actually try to include the rest of the grassroots movements in Bolivia. So that's when the Cocalero movement is born as a political instrument. and they decided to play the rules of the democracy, and they became a political party. 5 years ago, they almost won the elections with leader Evo Morales, and well, now the second time they are on the government. So it's going to be amazing to see dark skins and beautiful smiles from the indigenous people on the Congress. Indigenous people and actually a lot of women, because the Cocalero movement is mainly formed by women, and they support all these years of real tough struggle in terms of a real, almost civil war between the Cocaleros movement and the soldiers from the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency from USA. So they really come from the grassroots. They really form the leaders from that grassroots experience, and a very tough grassroots experience, I think.
Wow. So they have elected their president, who is Evo Morales. What kind of background does he come from?
I would love to say that my president has a unique background. He, at the beginning, was the son of these miners, and in his town he was part of a music band who was playing the trumpet. Yeah, well, he was a trumpet. After he was selling ice creams on the street. After that, he was playing football, soccer. He was the director of a soccer team. And then he went to Chapare, where the coca grows. And, well, he always had these leadership skills. So he started to form a soccer team with his mates, the Cocaleros. But through the soccer team organization, he started to be involved actually in the political organization, trying to defend the human rights of the Cocaleros. So that's the background of Evo. He started with the soccer team as a leader, but then the soccer team started to be as an instrument to really organize all the Cocaleros and stand by their rights. Making always struggles and making demands to the government, to the USA policies, and that's Evo. He really comes from the experience of a struggle.
Now, he's a leader who's very popular also with the women in the movement. He's attracted women to the movement, or they have gotten behind him. What kind of relationship is that, because soccer seems like such a masculine pursuit?
Yeah, it is, but when he started to explore or to expand the soccer team organization into a political organization, the Cocaleras, the women, were the first one to really be involved and to support him. Women were the first one coming to the meetings with the children, and the women also had the job to do to be in charge of the community radio of that region of the Chapare. But the community radio was allied to the Cocaleros movement because they used to put, like, for example, a certain piece of music to alert them that the soldiers were coming. But they never suspect about the women. So that was a nice relationship between the radio station run by women with the male who were on the front line. Yeah, and also they are very, very brave people, the women there, and they didn't have any hesitation to go and to fight and to claim the freedom of Evo, because Evo was put in the jail many times. So they were the first one to go and to march to the capital of the Bolivia with their children. And until now, it's very, very surprising how the main base of Evo is the Cocaleras. Yeah, so now they have very important roles and power positions, as far as I know, in the ministries.
Now, I've heard you say before that Bolivia is divided into a number of regions that are very different from each other. How does it happen that other regions respond to this movement?
Was a very hard campaign and a very hard job that Evo did, maybe in the last 3 years. Was a very good strategy, very well designed, because, yeah, as you said, the Cocaleros was only a region from Bolivia. But with the in the last 5 years, with the, all the economical crises that we had in Bolivia, like the water war, like the gas war, seems that the grassroots movements, whether it's indigenous or whether it's the MST movements, the landless movements, they started to join into a same vision. But it doesn't happen only from one day to another, only magic, that Evo started to articulate all the different demands. And also was a spontaneous moment on the country that seems that all the grassroots movements joined also spontaneously, because the situation, the economical situation and the political regime was really, really killing the people. So many factors really achieved this big alliance, all these leftist or indigenous movements did from the different parts of the country. It wasn't easy, but I think, yeah, the neoliberal policies helps to push that big alliance that they did. And also, Evo, it's a very smart man who include in their political party people from the medium class, from the elite, because Bolivia is not only poor people, Bolivia is not only indigenous. He said Bolivia is only people with the middle class, and we really need to include them in our project. That's really, really open.
Well, good evening. We seem to have some technical difficulties. That CD recording just kind of stopped midway. Stand by.
On Friday, February 3rd at 6 p.m., tune in for Bread and Roses. Host Denise Kowalczyk will talk to Planned Parenthood for an update on pro-choice issues, to local nonprofit bookstore In Other Words about some great books on motherhood and feminism, and to a board member from Insight's Teen Parent Program who will talk about teen motherhood. That's on Friday, February 3rd from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. right here on your community radio station, KBOO.
Okay, well, I think we'll be back on the air here. The audio right in the middle of the CD just seemed to drop out, but I think we're going to try to pick it up again. We might have lost just a few minutes. Here we go.
Many elements were included on that. It's a power issues, political power, but also an historical and ethnic and regional revenge, can I say? Because, well, it's not only that left and right, the fight in Bolivia, corporations between indigenous. It's also a problem of race, a problem of exclusion, a problem of historical reivindication of the people. So combined all these elements converge in this victory against transnationals, but was also the people were really, really tired and really suffering and really very, very poor condition in their lives. They were really poor, so that was a spontaneous movement. But thanks to these spontaneous movements is where the grassroots organization started to think that we were able not only to stop certain politics, we are also able to define politics, policies in our country, because the government is very weak. The government is really it's an instrument from the USA and from the international development agencies like IMF or World Bank. So they realized that it was a weak government, and they said it's okay, we always fight against certain policies, but now we are defining policies. So that gives you a lot of sense of power and a lot of proud that you are the owner of your faith. So that's really empowering. And thanks to this momentums in Bolivia is when the different grassroots from different regions of Bolivia, they said, we really have the capacity and we really have the power to throw out governments and to define politics. Let's do that on an official way. So let's going to make alliance, and let's going to go everybody with the Cocaleros movement, because they are leading this movement, and well, now they won.
Right. So the inauguration is coming up in January?
Yeah, on January 22nd. And it's going to be, because it's a very unique presidential elections, and there are going to be three main acts. One, the official one, but there are also two more symbolic acts when Evo is going to receive the presidency. And it's the first one, it's going to be in the Titicaca Lake on an island, the Moon Island, we call. It's a very symbolic island because it's where the mythology said that the Inca Empire, the Inca Kingdom, were born. So Evo is going to be on the Moon Island, and he's going to receive the power from all the Hilakatas. Hilakatas are the, like, the chiefs of every indigenous group, ethnic group. So they are going to acknowledge him as a president of this indigenous country. So that's going to happen on Tiwanaku, which is the Titicaca Lake. After, he will go to the Congress, the Palace of the Congress, and he's going to do the official act that everybody knows in every country they do. And the third one is going to be on the San Francisco Square, which is an old square from the century, the 16th century. It's very historical because all the popular fighters, all the popular rebellions were ending on that square. So coming back to the democracy, we came back to the democracy on that square. Everything happened on that square. It's a symbolic place for the street fighters. So he will go there, and the people will give him the power for being the president of this country, for that country. So it's going to be very exciting.
Wow. Yeah, that's really stunning to have that many different threads all coming together in the one leader. Mm-hmm. What about the platform of the party that Evo's heading? What kinds of things has he said that he will do when he has the presidency? And also, will he have the support of the Congress when he does that?
Yeah, well, one of the first main projects or main policies that Evo proposed during his pre-electoral campaign, it's first the nationalization of the natural resources, specifically the gas and other minor resources, but mainly the gas. So they are really planning to recover the natural resources, to be partners of the corporations, because it's clearly that, they say that it's clear that Bolivia by himself, they don't have the money to really explode the gas, but they are going to be equal partners, and they are going to be in charge of the natural resources, which is a very big change, because right now the people of Bolivia is not owner of the gas. The corporations are totally in charge of the money and the resources. So this is going to be a big leap. The second policy, big policy, is the coca policy, the coca leaf policy. He's going to decriminalize the coca leaf because he wants to become coca leaf legal in Bolivia, because of course it's really an integral part of our culture and daily life for Bolivian people. So he wants that coca leaf can be legal For the traditional consume for the people, but also to make medicines and to industrialize and to really use the all the benefits that this sacred leaf has. And of course, this is not a very nice, USA doesn't see this policy with a very good eyes. So that's going to be tough because he has to do an international campaign and to convince to the rest of the countries who signed that the coca was an illegal. So he has to do an international campaign. So that is going to be one of the, his big interests. And talking about the Congress, he's going to have... it's not going to be easy because, like... I think a good amount of the Congress is going to be still with the traditional parties. But at least he has not the majority, but he has a good amount. I mean, he only will need like one vote to really make all the changes that he wants. So I don't think it's going to be difficult, but it's not going to be... super easy. I mean, he has to convince two of other Congress to really be on their side, which seems very, very achievable. Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. And certainly those two promises are ones that put him squarely in opposition to huge forces that have been dominating or attempting to dominate the hemisphere and the world for a long time. Do you think that the current slide of the United States economically and in world opinion will be helpful to Evo at this moment?
Well, hopefully. Well, we have the first support gesture came from Venezuela and from Cuba. And some of the European countries like Spain. But, it's difficult. We hope that the international community can really support Bolivian's government because it's really important. It's the first time that the indigenous people is in charge of the government. It's the first time, so that means that it's going to be a lot of mistakes. But what we need now is really support because for sure it's going to be a lot of Bolivian elite. They are in front of their fates, telling them what bad are they doing. And probably many countries outside, they are going to say the same. But what we need is support. And now with the international solidarity, well, it's there are many, many groups, in solidarity groups, that they are willing to support. And it's not a few groups that are supporting already. So we think we are expecting international solidarity, not from the official government, hopefully yes, but people from the different activist groups, they are always also supporting the Bolivian government. So it's a really nice integration from really people to people. And some governments, well, like USA, they are... I'm sure that they are not going to have an official policy to support Bolivia, right? But at least there are other type of solidarity that is raising up, and that is really nice to see.
Yeah. Wow, it's going to be very interesting. So are they looking for a relationship, are the Bolivians looking for a relationship to their natural resources that would be like Chavez's and the Venezuelans' relationship to their natural resources? Is this a model that they are going to follow?
Yes, Bolivia is totally willing to integrate all the regional integration blocks, like the Mercosur, for example. Bolivia supports the Mercosur, which is an initiative of the Lula and Kirchner. And, well, Chavez is also promoting the ALBA, the Latin American alternative to the ALCA, or to the NAFTA, which is USA is promoting. The TLCA.
Wait. We better say that the ALCA is and the NAFTA are free trade agreements, so alleged free trade agreements of the hemisphere. So you're saying that there is the ALBA is a Latin American economic agreement.
Exactly. The ALBA is promoted by Chavez, and the NAFTA is promoted by USA with the USA perspective. So Bolivia, of course, Evo, it's a big supporter of the ALBA. And it's a regional integration, sharing not only resources, but also building infrastructure, the infrastructure that we need to share the gas, for example, or the oil, or the soja, the different foods, but also industries. So really promoting a trade agreement, but in terms of solidarity, because they are also promoting, for example, educational exchange, or, for example, the Cuban doctors going to Bolivia, and that type of integration with a lot of, with a social perspective. And yes, Bolivia is willing to support and being part of all these initiatives that they are coming up from different countries, because we are on the center of of South America. I mean, our geopolitical place is key place. It's a key territory that we have, and it's not only important in terms of building infrastructure to transport oil or gas, but also to really integrate the different ideologies, right? From Argentina, from Brazil, trying to really have this, share the same vision and materializing this vision, and Bolivia has a key role for the geography.
Yeah. So the same method by which you say Evo unified the country by listening to everybody and trying to formulate what would be the common position, Bolivia might be able to do that for the Latin American region as a whole, trying to integrate the different ideologies there.
Exactly. For example, if the Mercosur can join to the ALBA and the different other Andean agreements, we are going to have a unified Latin America region. Yeah, and Bolivia can be that link, integrating Mercosur with ALBA, with the north, with the south, because we're in the middle. So
it's an interesting thing that this is also known as the Bolivarian ideal, and it's coming out of Bolivia. Simon Bolivar went to unify Latin America.
Exactly. That's the proposal of Chavez, the Bolivarian Revolution, and Fidel is a great support. And yeah, it's an interesting project that it will be great if we finally can do it.
I was hoping to ask you more about the women's movement. Perhaps you'd care to say a few words.
Well, the women's movement are very, very key movement in the terms of the Cocalero Party. They were the big supporters of Evo when he was in jail, for example. They did a lot of key campaigns for the freedom of Evo, but also taking charge of the municipalities that they have and taking charge of the media that they have. For example, I was talking before about the community radio station, but the same experience that they had with the community radio station, they have with other productive initiatives, producing, for example, different types of textile, but they are always very active. And now I think that they are going to have a key role in the in the different ministers. For example, in the one of the first travels that Evo is doing right now, he's going to different countries in South Africa, Latin America, Europe, and most of the people who is traveling with them are women. Because they are going to be, I think, they are going to be in charge of many official ministries.
Very interesting. So you mentioned community radio stations and that you asked the women why they did all this voluntary work.
Oh, yeah. Not only the women from Chapare are running community radio station. In general, in Bolivia, community radio station are in charge of women. And I was asking why they do all this huge job, because they are poor farmers. They have a lot of child. They are in charge of everything in the house. And besides that, they work on the streets. And besides that, they do the volunteer job on the radio station. And I was asking them, why you do all this big, big job? And I was expecting a political speech, a very inspiring and ideological speech, but all they told me is only by love. Because we love our country, because we love our sisters, because we love our child. And it seems that now our country, our patria, as they said, our patria is calling us. So, wow, it's just love. Yeah, to build your future. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Adriana Paz. Adriana Paz, who's from Bolivia and from Canada, and a radio producer in both countries. Thank you for talking with me. This is Frida Worden, reporting for Wings. Our email is wings@wings.org. Website, www.wings.org. The Wings Sound logo is from Livana's album, A Circle Is Cast. Special thanks to Suzette Cullen and to Genevieve Vaughn, author of 36 Steps to a Gift Economy. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.